Here is Keegan Matheson of MLB.com down at the Rogers Center. How would you kind of describe the week of the Jays, considering they've won a lot of ball games? I think they're really happy with the way they're playing, Keegan. Yeah, you got the Manoah story at the beginning of the week, and now the Anthony Bass story at the end of the week. As a guy that covers this team every day, how would you kind of describe the mood around the team?
A mess that has made me forget they've even won games, frankly. That's been not really my main focus most days. Yesterday being a good example, with Anthony Bass speaking, Ross Atkins speaking for the first time, and then you look up at the end of the night and say, oh, God, there is a game going on. They did win. But the focus, the public focus, very understandably, is elsewhere. This has been a mess, and when you say that it's been a week long, shouldn't have been a week long, and I think that the fire has been attempted to be put out when 90% of the house is already burned down.
Keegan, what should have happened here? I mean, I'm careful to talk about it because I don't know the exact details, when the tweet was sent, what it actually was it deleted? What should have happened here and handled? How should this have been handled properly?
Yeah, so this would have been last Monday, an off day. And just the very quick context for people listening, Anthony Bass shared this Instagram post, deleted it, put it back up again because he stood by his beliefs, and deleted it again. Now, this video post called organizations like Target and Bud Light supporting the LGBT plus community demonic and evil. Those are a couple of words used. So he shared that, took it down, shared it again. This could have been handled much more quickly, much more directly, like we have seen with similar situations in the past. Whether that involves internal discipline, whether that involves a move at the time, I don't know what the right answer is there. But the right answer is not to have this spread out 10, 11 days later with so much hurt that has been created within the gay community in Toronto, gay and trans community, but also within the organization. The Blue Jays are a big organization. I'm always focused on 26 players, and God, it seems like they have 26 coaches now. But this organization is massive. There are marketing people, ticketing people, advertising, fan experience, many of whom who are members of this community, who are not making $3 million a year, suddenly seeing their organization protecting, it seems like, to that community for 10 days through this situation. It has not looked good and certainly has not felt good around the organization.
Well, and you consider what's happened in the last 24 hours. Like when Bass first came out, issued a statement, and that didn't take any questions, you know, understandably, I think that bothered a lot of people. Like if this is, you know, you're going to issue your opinion and you're going to post, you know, whatever you're going to post, it's your own Instagram account. I think there should have been some sort of an understanding that he had to speak on that or explain where he was coming from. That didn't happen. But you consider what was coming tonight, where he was going to catch the first pitch tonight. It's Pride weekend down there. Ross Atkins was trying to advocate for that and why that made sense, which it never did in retrospect. And now it's clearly not going to happen because Bass has been designated for assignment. And Gausman will catch that pitch tonight. But I said last hour, Keegan, that this is clearly not about performance. Obviously, like, he's been awful all year. Yes, his performance is, it's hurting the team, but it was hurting the team on Monday when he last pitched. It's been hurting the team, you know, the last week and a half when he's been on the roster but hasn't been used. So they could have made this call at any point based on performance. It is about the topic at hand here, and I don't believe Ross Atkins is the guy that can make a call on this. I think this should have been Mark Shapiro speaking, because I don't think it has anything to do with baseball and performance. Where do you stand on that?
I agree, and when you are an organization that talks about values and cultures and beliefs, it's easy to do that, just like it's easy to issue a statement. That's why teams, organizations, companies, both companies we work for, have HR people, have PR people for those situations. When you are communicating with the public, relating to the public is what PR means. So it is easy to say those things, but you have to prove it. It only matters when something happens. And you have to prove it. So that is a difficult spot for the org to be in. And when you mention Ross in this as well, it's something that we struggle with covering the story, figuring out where it goes. It's on a much lower level. It's like criticizing a pitching change. Is it really coming from the manager? Is it coming from the analytics department? Is it coming from the pitching coach? Where does this come from? MLB organizations are built with hierarchies, with 100 meetings full of 100 people. how high does this go? You would very clearly see that this goes all the way up. This is a massive organizational issue for the Blue Jays, who in this situation, yes, you look at them as a sports team, but also as a company, as an organization that's worth a heck of a lot of money and employs a ton of people, not just here in Toronto, but elsewhere as well. So it becomes a workplace and a broader company issue outside of just baseball itself.
With Keegan Mathison of MLB.com. So tonight, you got Minnesota back in town. And as you've been saying, you know, throughout the week, it's been about, you know, the Bass situation. It's been about how the handling, you know, how they've handled that, the PR kind of fumbling. But after Kikuchi goes, tomorrow it would have been Manoah. And that was the story earlier in the week. I don't think they fumbled that. I think that was the right play. He couldn't possibly pitch again tomorrow. But what do you make of that story? We haven't caught up with you this week, Keegan. What is your kind of projection about the rest of the season for Alek Manoah?
Baseball-wise, guys, this is as interesting a story as I've covered in years, I think, because you are dealing with failure for an elite athlete here. And we see it across all sports, but I think baseball, you see it a little more often where a guy comes up through junior high school, NCAA, the minors, as the best dude on the field at every level. When you are failing for the first time and you're stuck facing Aaron Judge, good luck. It's a very lonely feeling. So you are looking at not just a pitcher, but a person here, somebody who became very accustomed to success, to being the guy on this team, being the opening day starter ahead of Kevin Gausman, who's an amazing pitcher. And now he is at the complex in Dunedin, surrounded by rehabbing guys, surrounded by 18-year-old minor leaguers. This has to be incredibly humbling. And at this point, guys, the point I've reached now, and I agree the Blue Jays handled the Manoah demotion, I think, properly. They gave him enough rope and then sent him all the way down. Now it has to work. You know, we talk about this like a rebuilding franchise. Oh, they'll just rebuild, get some first-round picks. It doesn't always happen. When you are rebuilding a player, my God, this has to work. And there's not much of a blueprint, not much of a path to follow. This is rare territory. Manoah's a guy I bet on, a guy I believe in fully. And if this works, it's going to be the story of the season, the return of the king coming back, but it has to work.
Keegan, I think people goof on, even some members of the media goof on the players-only kind of closed-door meeting, and God knows what was said in that meeting, but you got to kind of, you got to admit, since then, they've kind of straightened it out, huh?
They sure have. It's been fantastic since then. I remember standing outside that door in Tampa, the closed-door meeting. I don't think players typically don't love when that gets out either. I think the best closed-doors meetings are one that people like me don't find out about.
I know, but it's pretty tough when
definitely.
The door's closed and you're not allowed
in.
Yeah, that means
the door's right
meeting.
There. It's right there. But and you guys can speak to this well as well, being in some of those meetings. I'm not quite athletic enough to be on the other side of the door, but it's worked. It has clearly worked. And it's important to highlight that. When things are going as bad as they were, and it wasn't just bad, it was sloppy. It was straying from their identity. It didn't look like good baseball. It wasn't clean. It was completely against everything they had said. Credit to them. Credit to that meeting. You know, John Schneider said at the time that it works better when players hold each other accountable, not just mom and dad coming into the clubhouse and slapping them on the wrist and saying you need to be better. It was about the players. They've made that work. They are on a very good run right now, and even being on this good run, they're not playing their best baseball. This offense does not look as good as it has or like it could look. So I think it can get even better, and important to credit that. That was a turning around point, at least in terms of wins and losses here lately.
Could you argue that the Manoah demotion maybe helped that as well? And what I mean by that is, you know, he seemed to be when you have a teammate that is struggling in that dressing room or in that clubhouse, anything.
No one else has to talk about it either.
Well, exactly. Like, you're watching him, and everyone's kind of on pins and needles, and now Manoah's not in the situation. The pitchers are dynamite, and the team seems to be more in sync. Could you argue that him being demoted maybe helped the guys to kind of settle down as well?
It can be a bit of a wake-up call. I think that, even outside of baseball, that's psychology. If I'm sitting next to someone in the press box and they get demoted a little bit because their stories weren't all that good, man, I'm going to write a better story that night, I promise you. Yep. It's any of us and any of us in our jobs. If we see the guy next to us go down, you are picking up the pace. And you have seen this rotation be just fantastic lately, right through Berríos. And if Kikuchi can do the same, they are set. But that helps make up for a lack of Manoah for what could be a while.
With Keegan Matheson, what do you think the plan is then? Not only for tomorrow, but give us your take on how they see that playing out. But, you know, if he's out of the rotation for a month, 2 months, what do you see them doing in his spot?
It's going to look different every time, I think. I like simple, straightforward fixes, but that's not how baseball works now. You're going to see Bowden Francis a bit. You are going to see Mitch White. You will see Trevor Richards throw 2 innings. Nate Pearson throw 2 innings. Starting rotation depth is this organization's biggest weakness, baseball-wise, right now, I think. Teams don't have 10 great starters. I know that, but the Blue Jays haven't had much go right this last while. Where it gets really interesting post-All-Star break, Hyunjin Ryu is targeting that as when he can come back. That would be a really cool comeback story if he can do something, but the Blue Jays are really in scramble mode with that. I think they'll use some off days to avoid this number 5 spot, but they are really going to have to duct tape this together a few different ways.
What's the latest on Kiermaier? Have you heard anything in terms of where things are going to stand with him moving forward?
So it looks like the x-rays and everything came out okay. He is feeling as you would imagine he would feel after taking 96 off the wrist, which is not great. Probably some mobility, definitely some swelling there. Guys always tend to stay in for one inning because the adrenaline kicks in, and then an inning later they say, hey, I just got hit by a pitch, and he comes out. So I think he is an option on the bases tonight if you need, probably back in there tomorrow. And, man, credit to Kiermaier. He has been an incredible signing. I did not think he would be nearly this valuable. He's exceeded every expectation, even offensively. He's been important.
Keegan, before we get you out of here, with all the new restos and different things to eat, have you found a personal favorite? Like, let's say on a Tuesday, do you indulge in the loony dogs, or what's the favorite new food at the barn?
You know what? We do get into the hot dogs a little bit. I went and explored around. I think one of the bars in center field was described as, it's just like King West, to which I said, what the hell would I do there? But you know what? I'm still a Mary Brown's purist. You know, you can't go wrong going down to grab some Mary Brown's during the ball game. Get yourself a fried chicken sandwich. Good way to live.
I love it.
Dude,
purist.
If you can get me some, I mean, I'm a member of the media, I'll sit beside you for one game and we'll just bury those chicken sandies all afternoon. If you want a day like that, I'm interested.
I'm in. People think it's about counting hot dogs. No, come to the big leagues with us.
Yeah, that's, you guys are playing a different ball game when you start knocking back fried chicken sandies. I'm with you, man.
Four pack for fun.
Okay. Keegan, enjoy yourself this weekend. Thank you, buddy.
You got it, guys. Talk soon.
Keegan Matheson of MLB.com.